Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work, self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures, it's not about clothing, it's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Today I'm sitting down with calligraphy artist Josephina Sanders. She has a very powerful story. She's a teacher, a wife, a creative freelancer, and everything else in between. She takes us on her journey from adolescence to the woman she is today. I hope you enjoy a bit of her journey. This is Josephina's story. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Josephina, thank you for being on the show with me. I'm so happy to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
We have been talking all day, all week, working on these projects that we're working on, but it's really nice to have you on the show to talk about your story instead of work stuff. So, So anyway, let's just jump right in. Can you please tell the Hey Girl listeners a little bit about you and what you do?
Okay, so my name is Josephina, and I do a lot of things. So I like to say that I'm a creative freelancer. And I specialize in calligraphy, all kinds of different kinds of art. I like to write. And I'm also a wife to a college pastor.
Awesome. Wonderful. I like that term, creative freelancer. That's pretty awesome. I might have to swipe that from you. That's really great.
Yes.
So I'm not sure how I stumbled across you, but it was some months ago. And since then, we have started building sisterhood and community together, and we've worked together, and you are just so sweet, kind, and talented. And I really wanted to get you on the show to not only talk about your journey as a calligraphy artist, but also as a wife and an entrepreneur. With that being said, can you give us some background on how you started calligraphy as a business?
I have been doing calligraphy for like the past almost 5 years. And the first time I used any kind of calligraphy pens was when my husband and I had gotten engaged. So we were determined to have a destination wedding. My parents are originally from Dominican Republic and they live there right now. So I told them, like, I need my family there and I want us to get married in Dominican Republic. So because of that, we were definitely balling on a budget. And I just told him, I said, hey, I'll just tackle on the invites and I'll try to figure out everything on my own, like, when it comes to like decorations and stuff. Because we really didn't have a whole lot of money, but we knew we wanted to get married. And one of my biggest things was I don't want to spend a whole lot of money on things that I can do. So if I can do it myself, then I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. So I picked up the invites. Mm. And that was the worst thing I could ever do, but the best thing. because I was picking up a new craft, but I was also thinking about the people who were going to receive these invites. And I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work out. So needless to say, I did all the wedding invitations by hand. And good thing it was only 50 people. Mm-hmm. But after that, I was over it. I was like, okay, I am never doing this ever again. This is way too much. But I want to say it was like 3 months after we got married. We were walking through a whole lot of change. There was just so much transition happening in our marriage. So he was changing jobs. We were leaving like where we live. I'm moving in with this man. And it's just a whole lot of change that can be super overwhelming. And with me, change can be a tad too much overwhelming to the point that it leads me to depression. Mm. So during that stage, which most people would be like, oh, you're newly married and it should be all great. It was hard for me. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. And I was depressed and I picked up journaling and I started journaling. And after I journaled, I added lettering to it. And from then on, it just became my creative outlet. Like, I just found so much healing through lettering. And it was like, I finally have something to put my emotions on. And it was like, although I felt so messy inside, mm-hmm. I was creating something beautiful with letters. So even though the letters or the things I would write were raw and were hard, there was still beauty in that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that you took your calligraphy and turned your pain into art. When I first discovered you on social media, that's what really drew me to you, was how you were able to tell your story in a way that wasn't coded in shame, but coded in truth and beauty behind the madness. So I want to step into using your hands and how that helped you during this transition of, you know, being a newlywed, your husband's job transitioning, you guys moving in with each other. How was using your hands beneficial aside from, you know, taking to your journal? What newness did you find about yourself as you were walking through not only your depression, but picking up this new art form of expression?
I don't even remember her name, but there was this girl who, she was diagnosed with cancer. And one of the things that she would always say, like while walking through cancer, was, I want to punch fear in the face. Mm-hmm. And literally, it was like, with depression, you just realize how much things you can't control, especially your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And with all that I was walking through, it was so overwhelming. And a lot of times, like, I just fell into this place where I was just really crippled, and I felt myself like not even being able to get up, not being able to move or do anything. And I'm like, but your hands can be used for so much more. And like, although I was walking through a hard season in my life, I discovered that, yeah, I can't control my circumstances, but I can't control the way that I react to them, so I can create with that. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just a discovery of, you know what, like, life is hard, and a lot of times transitioning and a whole lot of things with marriage can be tough, but you can find beauty in that by just using your hands. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just, like, it's so crazy because even within that, like, I found myself discovering different ways to create. So like, there was one time, maybe just a couple months ago, that I was super stressed out and I was just walking through just a tough season, and I had acrylic paint in front of me. I had an empty canvas, and I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to paint. I don't even care. Like, I'm just going to paint whatever I feel. And it's crazy because from that, I started abstract painting, and I absolutely love it. Like, I love doing it. So I feel like within the entire thing, it's just trying to make magic out of that. And I just realized that with my hands, I can create so much. So I'm not sure if that answered the question. I feel like I'm rambling.
No, that did answer the question, because it's never linear, right? It's always these ebbs and flows, this up and down. It's like, you know, a graph. And we never really figure out how to reach our peak without having these downfalls. You know what I mean? And that's just the journey ahead. And I really appreciate you sharing that using your hands was able to help you create some sort of peace, but also helped you tap into healing as a creative outlet. So I want to circle back really quickly. You mentioned that your parents are Dominican, and you shared with me you are first generation Dominican American. Is that how I would say that?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and your upbringing and your parents' thoughts on this creative career that you have going on?
Oh, that's a different story, girl.
Well, we're going to dive into it all because I want to know how that is.
So I was brought up in a very traditional Dominican home. I mean, I was born in New York, but I was raised in Dominican Republic until I was like 7. Mm-hmm. And my mom's whole like motive to that was, I want you guys to know your roots. I want you to speak Spanish. I want you to know where you're from. But then I want you to live a better life when it comes to education. So I want to bring you guys to America. And like, that was her whole reason why she wanted us to be born Americans. Mm-hmm. And within that, like, even since I was small, I was always into art. And I am one of 4 sisters. So because of that, we couldn't afford for me to go to art school. It was just, you know, we're going to go and we're going to figure out what we want you to do like while you're there. But my dad always dreamed about one of us becoming a doctor. For me, it was more like a teacher, because I always loved like the education world and teaching people. And, you know, with me, it was more on the ESL side. So teaching students who speak Spanish, English, like I love that. So I was so determined to do that. And I kind of put art on the side because it was not something that was looked upon doing full time. Mm-hmm. So I want to say when I first started this journey, my only support was Jay. And he was just like, you know what? Give your dreams a chance to fail. Like, go ahead and do it if that's what you want to do. So as I took the leap, my dad was very disappointed. And at first I was just like, you don't even understand. Like, this is something I'm passionate about. Like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I get to incorporate education on it. But with him, it was more like he was brought up in a very like poor home, and he had to drop out of school in 3rd grade because they couldn't afford to go to school, or to like, they couldn't afford food in their home. So he was a shoe cleaner, and he like made it his, it was his goal to make his family successful. So like, whether that meant getting into the hood and selling dope, that was his way of trying to figure out how to build his own empire. And he didn't do that for long, because that was definitely not the life for him. But it was hard as a family to like just watch my dad kind of live that lifestyle, but also tell us like, you know, you can't do art, you can't do this, you have to do this, you have to go this specific route. Mm-hmm. So my mom has always been my encourager. Like, she was all for it. She said, you know what, like, if this is what you want to do, you do it. And I think with her, it was more like, we couldn't afford to pay for you to go to school, like to an art school. So I would rather have you do like what it is that you're passionate about doing. So it was really hard. I had my dad tell me last year for the first time ever, Alex, for the first time ever, that he's proud of me. And
wow.
Oh gosh, it was it was the sweetest thing to hear my dad say that, because I feel like this entire time he's been like, what are you doing? Like, you're wasting your time trying to do something that's not going to bring you money, and that's not success. Mm. But I felt myself so free when I did that. So like hearing him finally get to a place where he's like, I respect what you're doing and I am so proud of you, was so, it was so good for me to hear that. And the funny thing is that like, he's an entrepreneur and he doesn't see that. Mm, like he's in Dominican Republic and he owns several homes. And like what he does is that he fixes them up and rents them out. And he also like owns a little shop and he sells stuff there. And I'm like, Dad, you do the same thing I do. We just have different routes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But he, you know, but I think now that he sees like, one, he sees my passion for it. And I think it's also because he sees that it's paying off.
Right.
He's like, okay, I can get behind this.
Yeah. But do you think that that has a lot to do with, you know, him and your mom being Dominican and wanting this specific, maybe even American dream for their children? Whenever I talk to my friends who have immigrant parents or parents who are not American, they're always saying, my mom or my dad wants me to be lawyer, doctor, you know, professor, and I want to do art, or I want to do X, Y, and Z, but they're not behind that. Do you think that that has to do with how they were brought up and their fear that you and your siblings may struggle?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, the biggest thing that they wanted for us, that's like the main reason why they had us in America. My dad is an immigrant, so he can't come to America. Mm. And my mom, like, she moved here when I was 7 years old by herself. And we lived in one bedroom.
Wow.
In a 3-bedroom apartment. It was me, my mom, and my 3 sisters. And she just had to figure out how to make it work. But the main reason why they did all of this was because they wanted us to have a better education and to eventually help the family out, because with like Dominican culture, like that's the thing. So like,
right.
Once you are of age and you go to America, you like create a successful life, then it's time for you to help out the family. So for them, there was more of that assumption that we were all going to be successful and we would be able to provide for them and just live successfully, whether that's being a doctor here in America or a teacher of some sort. It was more like they had their, more specifically my dad, because he struggled more than my mom when it comes to like finances and such. So with him, he was just like, I want my girls to live their best life.
Right. Right.
I want them to be successful. So it wasn't even more like, it wasn't a greed motive. It was more of, I don't want you guys to struggle the way I struggled. Right. And I don't want you to do the things I did when I was small. So like, even till this day, I know that that's what he wants for us, because like, whenever we go to Dominican Republic and we see a little kid that's a shoe shiner and he's cleaning shoes, he always stops. He always gives them money and he always tells us like, this is what I used to do when I was that age. I used to do the same thing.
Wow.
So it's crazy because the older I get now, I'm just like, you know what? Like, my dad and I didn't have a super close relationship. I would say that me and my mom were super close. But the more I see what he was trying, the legacy he was trying to build, I've been more motivated to do more and to leave a legacy that would make him proud, just because I feel like now that like the more I understand it and the way that you see everything that's happening in the world, it's like my mom and my dad, they chose to have me in America for a specific reason.
Right.
And they sacrificed so much for us. So having a long distance marriage for years because they wanted their kids to have a better education. So for me now, in like this stage that I am in, I'm just like, you know what? There has been a lot of stuff that my dad and I have like walked through, mm-hmm. but I want to make him proud. Like at the end of the day, I choose this life. I choose this creative life, but I know that I can make him proud with this life. Mm.
That's powerful. Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven constantly on the hunt for the next best thing? Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? Then you might love FabFitFun. It allows women everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review and must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas four times a year. Stumped on gift ideas? FabFitFun is also a great gift for someone you love. You can surprise your mom or sister with this awesome summer box packed with great items. Do you have a daughter who's going to college, maybe? Or a friend who's a new mom? FabFitFun is an awesome care package. My last box came with this beautiful lotus towel. It was blue and it's shaped like the flower and it has a gorgeous design in the middle. That's something we've been laying out on the deck and relaxing on for a few weeks now. So what I love about FabFitFun is that they offer full-size products, no samples of anything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200+ in retail value. The summer 2019 box has a total retail value between $269 to $467. That's fantastic. Treat yourself with items in it, such as the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, the beautiful Vicks Paula Lotus Towel, or the West Elm Indigo Tie-Dye Bowls. Many of the products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and some add-ons with each one. Or you can be surprised. It's great for discovering new brands and new products. What a better way to shop. I'm looking forward to my next box because they're always so different and packed with things I can actually use. I like to share the items in my box with my 11-year-old. She's really into skincare these days. We recently got a clay mask and a foot mask and a body scrub. She loves them all. The FabFitFun 2019 summer box is on sale now. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. All you have to do is go to FabFitFun to sign up and get started. Use promo code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. So I want to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about being young, Christian, and married. You and Jay are so cute. You shared with me not long ago the transition from one church to this new place. And I want you to talk about that, how it's been, you know, being a young married Christian couple and then also following your husband's footsteps and supporting him and his journey as you're on this creative career. How are you leaning into your husband and supporting his work? Because you totally do, from what you've shared with me. And I want you to kind of dive into that a little bit.
Oh man, let me just say that marriage is hard regardless.
Right. Regardless.
And I never in my life, I mean, never in my dreams thought that for one, I would ever get married.
Same.
which is so
and now
crazy.
We're here and we're married.
Exactly. And for two, that I would be married to a pastor. I mean, I was just, I would say I started following Jesus when I was a senior in high school, and it was after just a very traumatic experience. I invested my trust in a friend, and that friend took advantage of me in a sexual way. So like during that time, I just really lost who I was. And I really just started finding my identity in other things. So whether that was smoking or just going out and being promiscuous and partying, like that was my life my senior year, because I wanted to erase the things that happened to me. And I went to like this snow camp, and that's where I was introduced to the Christian world.
Can you tell us a little bit about snow camp?
So snow camp is pretty much a winter retreat that they usually have for people that go to different churches. So we would go to different kind of snow camps during the winter because we lived up north. But even within that, like I always felt like, I don't know if I want to believe this in God, because I've always been ingrained to get right with God and like, you need to get right with him. And I'm like, well, he's not gonna like love me because I'm out here wilding out, and I just don't understand why he would do that. So pretty much during that season of brokenness, when all of that experience happened, was when I was introduced to Jesus. And with Jay, like even within that, like I always thought, this is so crazy. This is how messed up when it comes to like just one, my outlook on life and marriage was. But I honestly, Alex, I thought, you know what, like later on in life, I'm going to be a single mom. Like that's probably going to be my life, because I will never like submit to no man. I will never have no man tell me what to do.
But you want to know what's funny? Let me just cut you off real quick. You want to know what's funny? I literally felt the same way. And I had plans to be 33 and go to the sperm bank and have my babies on my own. And voila, I'd be, you know, chilling and be a mom and it'd be fine. And it's so funny because when I met Ryan, I wasn't looking for love, you know, and then it happened. And now 5 years later, we are together, married, we have a newborn. And it's wild how the trajectory of life can change when you relinquish control, you know, and when you really just let God work for you or the universe work for you. And journeys are always very interesting, especially when you like let go and just sit back and also do the work, right? You have to do the work to change. Anyway, I just want to let you know we were on the same exact page.
Girl,
so I feel you.
I'm the same way. Side note, when I like started following you, I was like, oh my goodness, we are soul sisters. Like I could just feel it. Like I'm like, I know we can connect on like way deeper levels, and this just says it.
Yes.
Like, who the heck says that?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
But that's what we thought,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that like goes along with just how distorted our views could have been like in within that age. So anyway, with Jay, like he was just very different. In my past, I did not date good guys. Like these guys didn't care about me, but I wanted to like, just love them, like down to like whatever kind of candy they liked. And if I wanted to surprise them at work and just show them like a little, a little bit of love, I'm like, oh, here, I brought you this, you know, like I just wanted to love so hard. Because I wanted that love back, but I never received it until like later on. And it was crazy because with Jay, it was just so different. Just the way that he loved me and the way that he respected me. One of the things that we did was we waited to kiss until our wedding day.
Wow.
And it was so crazy for me because I'm like, I had experience in the past.
Right.
I can wait until, like I don't know if I can wait to kiss you.
I don't know if I want to wait to kiss you. How about that?
No. But Jay was like, you know what? Like I want to respect you. So even with I love you, he didn't tell me that he loved me until he proposed. And he told me that before. He was like, I don't want to tell you that I love you until I can show you that. And I want to show you that with a ring.
Wow.
And I don't want to kiss you. And it's not because I'm not attracted to you. It's because I respect you enough to not take advantage of your body now. I want to wait. I want to wait for us to just have a good time together after we get married.
Oh my goodness.
So, it was so crazy, Alex, because I wasn't used to that. Mm-hmm. You know, like there were half the times I'm like, maybe I could just like sneak a kiss.
Right. Just accidentally run into his face or something like, oh, okay. Sorry. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean,
love in such a different way.
Yeah.
And I respect that. And I loved that about him because it really showed me that I can still respect myself regardless of what my life was like before.
Mm.
And really that was like the biggest thing that I learned from him. And when it comes to like just being a young Christian couple, it's hard. And it's hard being a young Christian couple of color.
Right.
Because when it even comes to that, like the church that we're at is predominantly white. And, it's way bigger than the church that we were working at before.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing with us is we both are so connected to diversity and we love the next generation and we want to infuse hope to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't ever want to be looked at. I feel like there's this look to some specific Christians where it's like, okay, well, they don't agree with like homosexuality and they don't agree with this. So the way that they treat you is like trash. But we're like, you know what? Like, we welcome you and we love you and we would love to hang out with you because at the end of the day, like, we are called to love people. We are called to love people. It doesn't say don't love this specific person and la da 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 da. Like, this is who we are. And the thing with Jay and I is that we're misfits. Like, we honestly, everywhere that we've gone, like worked at, when it comes to like just ministry and church wise, we've never fit in.
Mm.
And for a time, I really thought that was a problem. I'm like, is it us? Like, this is weird, Jay. Like, our stories are so different. The way that we were brought up is so different. And like culturally, sometimes we are very different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard because it's like, okay, we feel like we're alone, but I was so encouraged by him because he was just like, Fina, we are misfits and it's okay to be that. Like, mm-hmm. it's okay for you to be different mm-hmm. and to love God. Like, we weren't called to be just like everybody else. So at the new church that we're at, there is, I think it's over 30,000 people, and we serve the college students, and there's over, I want to say it's like 150, 200. So we meet with them every Tuesday. And Alex, it has been so good. Like, for one, I have never seen Jay so excited for the future.
Mm.
And he's able to dream big. Like, he is like, you know what? I want to fill up this room. I want to love on these people. I want to bring diversity to this church.
Mm.
I want to show them how beautiful diversity is. I want to talk about the hard topics like injustice and social justice. And I want to be able to educate these people on this and also empower them to go out there and make a difference.
Mm.
And for us, like, that's what we feel like our calling is, to empower, to encourage, enlighten people, because I feel like when it comes to places like that, they don't know about that, or it's not talked about.
Right.
It's kept on the hush, or
right.
you talk about it with somebody else who might just agree with you. But it's like, you know what? You need to be educated on it, because clearly there's good ignorance and there's also the bad ignorance. And there's the ignorance where people really don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, you need to be educated on this because you are white and privileged and you need to know that that's what you are. But I'm not saying that to you to feel some kind of way. Like, I want you to notice who you are. And then, okay, now that you recognize that, let's go out there and make a difference.
Mm, yeah. Exactly. And that's so wonderful that you and Jay are the faces for the young people at the church, because that's what it takes, intersectionality, to make change, whether it's on the faith front or just out in the world living your day-to-day life. And I think that's extremely powerful that two young people of color are the face of not necessarily the face of Christianity, right? Because no one is the face of Christianity, but you guys are offering a different perspective and a different view when it comes to faith and how it impacts your life. And that is extremely powerful. What you guys are leaving behind every Tuesday is changing the next generation. And that is what is so, so important, is setting that change into motion. And I want to know, when you started trusting your work and your journey enough to teach, because not only do you teach in the church alongside your husband, you teach Zumba, you teach calligraphy, you are literally a teacher. And when did you start trusting your work and your journey enough to step into that?
Oh my goodness. That's so crazy, because I just realized I went to this lettering workshop. And it was actually at the church that we're at now. Mm. There was this girl, her name is Jordan Lee. And she's like pretty well known with like the Instagram world for just being a woman of faith. Mm-hmm. And she was teaching a lettering workshop. And while she was there, and it wasn't like a prideful way, but I was looking at her while she was doing what she was doing. And I was like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I know I can do this. And this was like in a November. And I told Jay about it. I was like, this girl was out there. She was teaching. I literally know everything that she's doing. And I can do that, Jay. Like, I know I can do that. So he was like, why don't you do it then? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I would have to find a place. Blah, blah, blah. I had all these excuses because I was just like, I knew I could do it. But I'm like, ooh. But that means I can do it. So that means I should do it.
And it's like, do I really want to do it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. And the thing is, like, I'm naturally an introvert. So I'm like, I don't really like all that public speaking stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I save that for Jay. I'm like, you can go ahead and do that, babe. Like, I will talk to the people that are like on the side in the corner, just hanging out. It's like one or two of them just talking. I can do that. But then I think it was him telling me to just do it and pushing me to do it and asking me about it and keeping me accountable of it. And it took me a couple months. My first class was in June and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go do it. So we went and we looked for the place, we booked it, and I said, I'm going to teach this class. And it was crazy because it was sold out.
Wow.
And I was so nervous. I mean, I was just like, I was about to pee myself because I was so scared.
And now you're teaching what? Every month?
Yes, I teach every month, twice a month. And sometimes I travel and teach. And I also speak, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's so crazy. But I feel like as you continue, like, to discover yourself, all those fears and all those barriers that keep you from being the best you break. It's like, it's so crazy. It's like the more you find yourself and the more you find what your calling is, everything that you used to be afraid of or that used to intimidate you in some way, shape, or form, it's like, I don't even care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So even with Zumba, like I said, I'm an introvert. So like usually with Zumba instructors, they're super crazy, loud, doing their thing. But I'm like, I honestly don't say a word in class. I just tell them what to do when it comes to I just show them how to move and I smile and it's great. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what we do. And I love it.
Yeah.
But it's more of the more I realized how in love I was with my craft, the more it made room for me to step out of my comfort zone and just do what it is that I want to do, whether that meant teaching or speaking or leading out classes.
I love that. I have like all these quotables that I've been writing down because you are dropping a lot of gems. And I really admire the fact that you have stepped into your light and you continue to do that, because that's the only way that we can continue to grow and expand and find our calling in life. Because I feel like a lot of people think, okay, I want to do this. I know I can do this. how do I make it happen? And then they get there, and then that's the end of the growth. But the growth mm-hmm. never stops. It's ever evolving. And I really think that you've done a great job at continuing your evolution through calligraphy, your creative career, your teaching, and feeling safe enough to trust not only yourself, but your students with your talent and your offerings. And I want to touch on one more thing before we wrap up. You and your husband, I think the one thing that connected me and you was that we both experienced a miscarriage around the same time. Mm-hmm. And you and your husband have been walking through that healing and trying to conceive again. And I want to talk about how you are leaning into that really uncomfortable truth and how you are preparing for your rainbow baby in the future.
Man, I knew we were going to talk about this, and I'm like, man, I don't even know what I'm going to say because it's so crazy. But when we miscarried, I was just in a place where I was blaming myself. I blamed myself for it. I was just like, I overworked my body. Maybe I didn't feed myself enough. I didn't do all these things that I should have. And I was just in a place where I was like, I literally just blamed everything on me from things, decisions I've made in my past. I was like, oh, maybe it was because I did all this stuff in high school that I'm paying the repercussions now. Like it was bad, but it was also a season of discovery when it comes to myself and my life. And I feel like it had to take, and I would never wish this on anybody, and I hope that it doesn't happen again, but I don't know what my future will hold. Mm. But it really took the loss of my baby. It took the death of a baby for me to realize how I had been killing myself. Mm. I was not taking care of myself when it comes to just emotionally, physically, mentally, with everything. I was not taking care of myself. I was just living my life just day by day and doing what I could to get by. I was working a 9-to-5 during that time, and I was just doing what I had to do. And I feel like that's when I really started to realize I am not in a place where I fully love myself, or mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with myself, or I'm taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy, Alex, because I ran into your podcast during that season, and I was just like, self-care, that's what I'm not doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking care of myself. So like, I took a whole month off after our miscarriage. It happened on February 23rd. I waited until till March 23rd. And I said, I'm not doing anything. So I quit my job, which I don't really recommend if you don't have the support.
Right.
Just saying. I had to talk to Jay about that first. Like,
right.
Hey, babe.
Right. Like, this is what I need.
The atmosphere was really hard, though. I was working at a recovery clinic with like recovering drug addicts and opiate abusers. So it had a whole lot of emotional baggage.
Yeah.
So I would take a lot of that baggage home with me sometimes. And that was just a lot of the things that I had to deal with. So I quit my job for my own emotional peace of mind. I needed that. And I took that entire month off, and it was hard. I mean, from getting up and like seeing how big the world is and seeing how quickly the world moves while you're in mourning is the hardest thing ever.
Yeah.
So from then on, like till now, I've just been slowly getting myself back up. And I'll be honest, like there's a lot of times where it's hard. There's a lot of times I'll tell you, like this week I was just like, you know what? If it doesn't happen, I just need to be okay with it. And it's hard when you desire something so bad and you see it all around you mm-hmm. and it's not there, like it hasn't happened for you yet you still hope that it's still like that it's coming.
Yeah.
And like, I feel it to like my toes that like, I know that we'll have a baby. I don't know when, and it's hard waiting. It's hard trusting and just it's hard when that desire is so big and it's not here yet.
Yeah.
And being patient and waiting on it. But what I'm learning right now is how to be content with what I have. So though I find myself sometimes dissatisfied with not being a mom yet, well, I can be grateful because I have a husband who loves me. I have a dog that is crazy and keeps me busy. I have, like, I'm doing what I love to do. And although my baby is not in my arms, like, my this child that is in heaven has motivated me to be my best self and live my best life. And it's hard. I mean, it's really hard. It's hard getting to know your body all over again, mm-hmm. even after like miscarrying and like all the things that change within that. It's hard looking at like the months coming up and thinking, oh, my baby could have been this month old, or this could have been what my life looked like. So I want to say I don't have it all together when it comes to just preparing for our rainbow baby. I'm just learning how to be content. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like when I'm in a place of contentment, I am in a place where I'm at peace.
Yeah.
And when I'm at a place when I'm at peace, I feel like that's when blessings come. And I know that for me, especially navigating through like anxiety and depression, it's hard to find contentment a lot of times when it comes to that. So I'm just trying to find peace with myself and peace with the fact that we have miscarried, and I don't know what the future holds, and I need to be okay with that.
Well, just know that I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm standing with you because it took us a long time to get Isla, and you know, it's hard. It's hard. I like that's the best word to describe trying to conceive, miscarrying, and being on this journey of fertility. It is hard. It's never easy.
Yeah.
But all we can do is try to find peace in what we have and where we're going. And that ultimately can be the greatest blessing, is having peace. So when your blessings do start raining down and your rainbow baby does come, you're already in this place of ease and
yes.
trusting not only your body, but your story and your journey. So thank you so much for sharing that. And we're going to wrap up here, but I wanted to ask you, what three things would you tell your high school self? You've come such a long way.
Mm.
What three things would you tell her?
Oh, wow. I would say you are enough with or without somebody next to you.
Mm.
You don't need that because you alone are enough. You alone are powerful. You can do what it is that you're dreaming about doing, and you are powerful on your own. And oh man, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself and move forward.
Mm.
The only way that you can move forward and excel and do what it is that you're dreaming about doing is by forgiving yourself and moving on. One last thing would be forgive those who have hurt you. Because at the end of the day, those things are going to keep you shackled up. And in order for you to find that peace and to find that contentment, you don't have to necessarily be friends with this person, but you don't necessarily have to verbally forgive them, but just do it on your own and find that peace and do what you want to do and punch fear in the face.
That's a good way to end. Can you please tell the Hey Girl listeners where they can find you on social media and how they can connect with you?
All right. So you can find me on Love Offering. That's all my artwork is there. Or you can go onto loveoffering.co. and you can message me there. I will try to respond to your messages. Alex and I have been killing it, so
we have been busy. So we have some good stuff coming. Good stuff, including Josefina coming here this summer and hopefully having a calligraphy workshop. So guys, stay tuned for that. Self-care and calligraphy is definitely happening this summer with you. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And I'll talk to you soon. I'm sure I'll talk to you later today, actually.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul, Woody Woodhall, and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.